from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We grade our team presidents and GMs with a ranking. And I have been able, during this last commercial break, to fairly put Tom Fitzgerald in the right position.
Nice.
So, 1 through 9, your current GM/team presidents, because obviously the official title varies depending on the franchise and organization, but essentially they're the face of all the offseason moves. And this was carefully done. This was meticulously done. I know that there may be some controversies. There may be some things that anger you. And I think you'll clearly see, based on these rankings, that I was an IRO, an independent ranking observer. My fandom was completely away from my body as I ranked everyone 1 through 9.
Now, you did this based on offseason moves? Did this based on
where they currently stand, their power rankings.
Okay.
So, a lot goes into it. Are you ready for number 9?
I am.
You guys want to guess who's number 9? Who is the worst executive in the current moment in New York sports? You guys have a guess? He's last. He's dead last, this person.
I'm going to go Sean Marks.
He's going to be taught. You're going Sean Marks. All right, we got Sean Marks today.
I would agree with that.
Same.
So you're all going with Sean Marks?
Yep.
Oh, this will be fun. Number 9, Sean Marks. Here's the deal, Sean.
I've heard you rail on him too many times to think anything other than that he would be last on your list.
It takes a special kind of suck to have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, and be the architect of, yes, building that, which was amazing. Sean Marks was once number 1 on this list. Mm-hmm. True story. To actually have that collapse in record time, and then actually have it like a pretty good pivot, and then have to blow that up within a year. The only thing I gave Marks points for that actually almost got him out of the cellar is that he's maintained to keep his job. And I found that to be very impressive.
Wait, so you gave, like, you actually put number rankings.
Yeah.
Like, you get a 1 for this or whatever, a check for this, check for that.
Very scientific, Tiki. Yeah.
Actually, Tiki? I mean, do you know Evan?
Sure. I thought I was just kind of subjectively thinking, okay, in my mind, this guy's above this guy. All right, so this guy's above this guy. So I thought you would do it that way.
No, point system.
The only people that make more lists than Evan Roberts are the NFL Network.
That's right. That's so true. Are we all in agreement that Sean Marks is the ass in this whole thing?
The NFL Network in the offseason.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, number 8's going to cause a lot of controversy. And I understand that this is going to ruffle some feathers, but there's a reason why this man is only number 8. And the person I'm talking about is Joe Douglas.
Mm.
Yeah, Joe Douglas is number 8.
Joe Douglas.
Does that surprise you guys?
Oh, no, because he's on the hot seat.
Yeah, well, look, one of the calculations.
Well, at least we think he is, because Woody hasn't said anything.
Yeah, I mean,
he might be leaving it up to Chris.
It's true, we're assuming he's on the hot seat. We have no idea. Joe Douglas, and I'm not kidding, outside of David Stearns, whose mission is incomplete, it would be unfair to put him in this.
Yeah, he's only been there for 6 months, 8
correct.
Months.
Joe Douglas, fact check me if you like, is the only executive on this list in New York sports who has not had his team make the postseason. Think about that.
Doesn't shock me.
Think about that.
Yeah, that deserves to kick you down the list.
That kills you on the list.
100%.
And so what like really frustrates me about Joe is that, is the talent on this team incredible? Yeah. Has he had some amazing drafts? Yeah. Like, he moved up so much based on the roster moves he's made. Like, I love his roster. But ultimately, what I could not do, Tiki, is have an executive who's been here for how many years, by the way? It's not like he's been here for 5 minutes.
17?
My God, David Stearns has.
2017 was his first year?
No, it was later than that. It was 2000.
Oh, no.
He inherited Gase. Adam Gase, so yeah, I think Gase it was 19 or Gase 20.
June of 2019.
2019.
Yes, Gase was 2017.
He took over right after an offseason, which was so strange. Like, it was after the draft. It was weird. So he had parts of 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and here we are in 24. It's his sixth year. So to not make the postseason, to not have a year at 500, I'm sorry.
Feels longer than that. So he's really had 4 years of building the team.
Yeah.
And two first-round picks that were complete failures.
Right.
Well, but he's also had some great first-round picks. No, I mean, Sauce Gardner's amazing. Garrett Wilson. Like, that's the thing that's so frustrating about him and tantalizing about him. Pound for pound, he's made some great moves.
Yeah, but you get a left tackle and a quarterback, and neither one of them are on the team anymore.
Yeah.
One before he finished his fourth year.
No, I understand. Now, here's the crazy thing about Joe. Because I know Joe Douglas is listening, and he's probably a little upset about this. I think he assumed and hoped that he would move up the rankings. Here's the great thing, Joe. If you make the playoffs this year and the Jets go on a deep run, you got a chance to go way up this list.
Mm-hmm.
You got a chance, like next August, to be number two or three. Maybe even number one. God forbid you win the Super Bowl, you'll be number one. So I think Joe's got the greatest movement to grow, but I'm sorry, he's number eight. Number seven is Tom Fitzgerald, because I just needed to find a place to put him.
Did add a goalie.
Great. Number six is Lou Lamoriello. Look, the Islanders have had some pretty good success. I mean, they got to back-to-back semifinals, however you want to define it. They've been in the playoffs. They haven't been like a true cup contender in a few years, but you got to give Lou credit for that, so I put him at number six. Number five is your boy Joe Schoen. Mm. Look, he's in the middle because, unlike Joe Douglas, he has been the team executive when they've gone to the postseason. The problem is he kind of inherited that team. He really didn't do anything. Like, that was Dave Gettleman's team. I'm just being honest.
Hmm.
Who is the left tackle?
Andrew Thomas.
Who is the quarterback?
Daniel Jones.
Who is the star running back?
Okay, Saquon.
Who's your best defensive player? Dexter Lawrence. They were all Dave Gettleman guys. I mean, I'm just, again, being fair.
Yeah, but the head coach is who made all the difference.
That's
in the
how
world.
Joe Schoen got to five. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, I'd have a ninth.
A little underrated, but it's all good.
Excuse me?
It's a little underrated, but it's all good.
You think you should be higher than that?
It's all good. We'll wait and see.
Rest of the list. Number four is David Stearns. Look, David's in a tricky spot because he hasn't...
David Stearns is not better than Joe Schoen.
Hold on. He hasn't completed a season yet. This season could be a disaster. They may flame out in August, and we may all curse out the trade deadline, or they may make the playoffs, and we'll give David a lot of credit. I think so far, he's had a lot more positives than negatives, but here's the reality about David Stearns. He was an impossible person to rank because there is no result.
Yeah.
It's literally what we think of the offseason, what we thought about Vientos being stuck in the minors for a month,
right.
What we thought about the trade deadline. So I will agree if you want to fight about Joe Schoen or Lou Lamoriello saying, hey, those guys have accomplished something. I'm just saying David Stearns is a very tough person to mark.
I would agree with that because you don't know what the success is going to be yet.
Right.
Now you have some players that are playing great, but they were here before.
Right. Kind of like Joe Schoen inherited all his players and they made the playoffs. And that is true. You guys get so bothered by that, and it's not an insult on him. Like, I'm just describing what happened, right?
No, you're right.
Okay.
But
you seem offended by it.
Joe Schoen made the playoffs, and David Stearns has yet to make the playoffs.
David Stearns hasn't had a chance to make the playoffs
yet. Okay, so yeah, so stick him at five.
I mean, that team doesn't make the playoffs without the guys Schoen added that offseason.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would flip those two.
All right.
And depending on who's three, you might go flip this one as well.
Well, we're down to our top three. Sean is going to have a very strong opinion on all of these guys. Number three is Chris Drury. I have him stuck at number three.
Hmm.
Is that
feels right. I can't say that Schoen should jump him.
I think Chris Drury's number one, but that's fine.
No, he's definitely not number one because number two has to be, and I guess this is where we reveal number one. Should I tell you who's number two or who number one is? Dramatically number one?
Yeah, all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, number one on this list is the guy that didn't believe or listen to negative, angry tweets about Jalen Brunson being blah. We present to you, Leon Rose. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Number one on the list.
Okay.
What's that mean?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Look, I think Leon Rose has done a great job. A great job.
Number one.
Guys, I mean... Chris Drury inherited a rebuild where they were firing all of John Davidson, Gorton, and he has gotten a team to the conference finals two of the last 3 years. With all due respect to Leon Rose, we still haven't sniffed the conference final yet, and that might be coming.
They got to the semis in back-to-back years.
And this is where it sounds like you're being a hater on Leon Rose. You're not hating on it. I think he's done a terrific job.
Yeah.
The results for Chris Drury have taken the Rangers further than the Knicks.
Okay, can I counter that?
Farther than the Yankees?
The same era? Well, technically, yes.
Well, guys, we're all a bunch of losers. None of these teams have won. We're picking executives who all are ringless outside of Cashman from a million years ago.
Right.
So obviously, there's a curve here. It's not like we're including Dave Dombrowski or something.
Okay. And I think the curve is because the Knicks...
Before Philadelphia.
Because the Knicks have been so bad, for the better part of most of our lives, let's be honest, so bad and so in the dumps, that we are grading them up on a curve, that we are just settling for what he has built, and he's done a good job of it, when in reality, the job Chris Drury's done is actually a better job than Leon Rose's.
Well, he hasn't. No. First of all, no. And second of all, yeah, the curve does matter. Like, what hurts Brian Cashman is that Brian Cashman's been here for a million years, and the Yankees losing in the postseason is not an acceptable result. Leon Rose bringing the Knicks to a level where they are expected to get to a conference finals and have been to back-to-back semis, I think shows you the kind of job he's done.
Yeah, and it's almost unfair to him because who knows if they were healthy how far they would have gone.
That's
talking
true.
About Leon Rose.
That's true.
And so I think you're judging based on, well, if they were healthy, they're definitely getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, maybe they don't beat Boston, but they're at least in the Eastern Conference Finals out of what felt like nowhere. So I think you're judging on the health of his roster, even though it was unhealthy.
Okay. So now if we go through this whole year, if the Knicks are not in the Eastern Conference Finals next year, is Leon Rose still number one?
Well, hold on a second. This is this year's power rankings at this moment.
But I'm just
predict the future, Sean?
But context matters in terms of creating him on a curve. How many years is this acceptable?
He did hang on to most of his important guys.
Right.
Right? So, that was difficult. I mean, especially this offseason.
You know what else he did that he deserves a lot of credit for? He led this incredible coup of Nick players getting away with tampering with and bullying a player on another team and somehow forcing that player to force his way to your team. And then he's probably going to take less money, too. I mean, when you think about all the Jedi mind tricks that Leon has pulled off over the last few years, I mean, think about it. He got Jalen Brunson to accept a team-friendly contract. He got Jalen Brunson to begin with. Like, everything this... Now, he hasn't been perfect. I don't want to say everything. He's had some misses. He's had a few misses you can mix in there. But for the most part, like, Obi Toppin. That's a miss. A little bit of a miss. Could have drafted Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah,
nah, that's a miss.
Yeah, it is a miss. It's only because of the alternative.
Yeah.
Even though Obi Toppin's pretty good as a six-man.
Yeah, he's fine, but that pick didn't work necessarily.
I agree with you.
But Leon has been like, he's had the Midas touch. So when you ask Sean, because you're bitter about this, you don't like someone being number one on the list that isn't your guy.
That's not true.
Meanwhile, I mean, look at my guys. My guys are all at the bottom of this freaking list. Sean Marks is number nine, my guy. Joe Douglas is my guy. He's number eight. Lou Amarillo's my guy. He's six. And David Stern's got a token four. Like, I mean, what do you want from me? You're just bitter that Leon was at Cashman and Drury when the truth is he's earned it. Like, what do you want me to tell you? Sorry that you're hurt by this.
I'm not hurt. There's a Nick problem in this town that I'll just wait for next April to.
Well, hold on a second. I'm an IBO.
So you're not giving them credit. That's what it sounds like.
No. I'm giving him credit. I think we've jumped a million miles down the line of giving Leon Rose and company too much credit.
Right. It's almost like you're projecting. Like you're projecting the success. Even though it's only happened consistently for a year.
I didn't have the word, Tiki, but you just nailed it. It's almost as if we now are just telling everybody, we know the Knicks are going to the conference finals and they're probably going to go to an NBA finals. We love what Leon Rose has done. Can I see it? Because at least I've seen it with Chris Drury in the
Rangers. What the hell's the difference? An extra round? Really?
That's a pretty big difference.
But that's the end all be all? That it's an extra round? Because that's really what you're talking about.
Well, not only that, I mean, we're talking about game sevens in the extra round.
But did you win?
No, but that doesn't...
So then what? Why is that such the end all be all?
Who's the flawless GM? Of course Chris Drury or Brian Cashman are not flawless, but we are doing a little bit more. Why not just... If we're going by what you're giving Leon Rose credit for, then we should put Joe Douglas
why?
On the list.
No, they haven't made the playoffs. They haven't even had a 500 season.
No, but I just picked up for 16 wins. We should have put him up there. They got Aaron Rodgers.
No, no.
Let's project.
We're not putting... I'm not putting Leon Rose number one because of projection. I'm putting it because of results.
Bro, like, bro, before Brunson got hurt, they blew a series to the Pacers.
Okay.
They should have beaten the Pacers.
I understand that. And guess what you guys did? You guys blew a series to the Lightning. You want to talk about that? You guys blew a series to the Devils. You want to talk about that?
It isn't about praising Chris Drury. It's just about putting things in perspective.
Well, I'm putting in perspective back for you because if you want to grip the Knicks, which is fine.
I know what this is.
What is it with me? I don't like either team, bro. I'm being honest.
I know what this is.
What is it?
Evan's got to find his soft spots to make sure he doesn't always look like a Knick hater. And this was a nice, easy soft spot on August 2nd.
He's a ticket holder.
Yeah.
And then this way, you know, when basketball season rolls around, they hit a rough spot, and Tommy starts screaming and yelling, Evan will go back, well, remember the GM list? Where did I have Leon Rose?
Yeah, but the GM list has nothing to do with
what's
going to happen.
He's looking for his little wins to show Knick fans he's not a total hater.
It has nothing to do with that. I did a system. I did a point system. And Chris Drury's done a fine. It's not like I buried Chris Drury. And here's the other thing that matters. And it doesn't matter to you. Maybe it matters to Tiki. Let me sell this.
Go ahead.
The New York Rangers, for a decade, were in the playoffs every single year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every single year they were a playoff team until about 2018, at the end of the Alain Vigneault, Henrik Lundqvist era. Okay? And then they had a few down years. Okay? They made the mistake of firing Dan Quinn. I don't count 2020. That's not real. It wasn't even a real playoff round. So they really had four straight years of being in the wilderness. They had some rock bottom moments. They had some embarrassing moments. They weren't tough. Okay. They hired Chris Drury, and to Drury's credit, it's why he's high on the list, he helped kind of return the Rangers around. And they've had three very good seasons where they're back to being what they were. The Knicks were in the wilderness for two decades. And now the Knicks and the Rangers, if we're being fair, are equivalent. They are on the same level. They have a chance to win championships. They are not the favorites. The Rangers were never the favorites this year. The Knicks were never the favorites this year, okay? They are both on the same level. One guy took them from the bottom. The other guy took them from, we had a couple of years in the wilderness. Well, and yes, that helps Leon Rose. You got me.
I mean, that makes sense, actually, Sean. It does make sense. And let's look at the regular seasons. I mean, the regular season, the Rangers were the presidents, trophy winning.
Of which nobody picked them for before the year.
Well, of course, but they ultimately, that's who they were.
Yeah.
Whereas the Knicks, I guess the East was weird this year in basketball. It felt like they could have finished fifth or second. They ultimately finished second, so I guess their expectation in the postseason was what it was. But they also, they played great despite all the injuries.
They did.
So
and
they were a well-constructed team. They were a well-coached team.
I just have a hard time punishing Chris Drury because this fan base saw Henrik Lundqvist there that went there, and I think that we're forgetting one thing. And we hear it all the time, and it's very cliche. The hardest trophy to win in sports is the Stanley Cup. Chris Drury's so good at his job, we're taking for granted that two of the last 3 years, he built the team that went to the conference final.
But hold on. Can I counter that for a second? The Knicks, and look, we could argue, especially as we get closer to the year, are they a title contender and all that crap? I know Shaq recently came out and said they're not even a title contender. If the New York Knicks win an NBA championship around this roster that they built, I would argue with you, not because I'm trying to win points with stupid Knicks fans. I can't even stand them as human beings. I would argue with you because I believe it, that trophy they won was the toughest trophy to win. I'd argue with that all day long. That would be the toughest trophy to win. They don't have an all-time great player, unless you think Jalen Brunson is becoming that. And by the way, if he does become that, they got him when half the people didn't even want him.
Yeah.
Like, it would be the toughest trophy to win.
But,
so I disagree with you, bro. I'm sorry. If they both won championships next year, let me just walk you through that, and then I'll let you return fire on this. The Knicks and the Rangers both win titles. Okay? We go to double parades. Leon Rose would be number one on this list. Period. Stop. And nobody would disagree with me, other than just you being a diehard Ranger fan and not wanting to give the... If they both got to the same freaking place... Rose would be number one.
You can't rebut that.
Well, I would say this. If we're going to praise Leon Rose for bringing Jalen Brunson here and having the foresight that he'd be a star, who's Leon Rose's son again?
What does that have to do with anything? Because his agent, his son was the agent?
Yeah.
Of OG Anunoby? Not even Jalen Brunson. It was OG Anunoby. So get your facts straight.
I thought Jalen Brunson was Sam Rose. What was his tie to the Knicks? He had a tie to the Knicks. Was it his father? Rick Brunson.
His
Rick Brunson. Okay.
Okay. You don't even know your ties.
All right. That's the problem. There's so many ties leaking back to the Knicks.
But it doesn't matter.
But look, Leon Rose is just getting gift wrapped. These guys that ended up working out.
Oh my God, he's so bitter.
I'm not being bitter. I'm just bringing facts, and it doesn't mean he discredit. But he's not number one.
And you have the balls to question my integrity when I don't even like either team.
Some of us are fair and balanced, Evan. Some of us are season ticket holders with an agenda. That's all.
I have an agenda now, Tiki. This guy's unbelievable. Let's get to some of your calls because people have very strong opinions on this. This is an annual thing. You know who was number one last year, by the way?
I don't. I'd have to go back through the archives.
No, I'll tell you. I was stunned. I went back to the archives now. Tom Fitzgerald.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Number one?
Yeah, because the Devils had just beaten the Rangers and gotten to the second round of the playoffs. Yeah, I went back to the archives. Tom Fitzgerald was number one. You don't remember that? You were right here when I did it.
Tom Fitzgerald was hired 3 months ago.
Crap. What?
I'm just kidding. I want to see
you. You got me confused. Let's go to the guy who wants to say I got it wrong. We go to that guy. Joe in Glen Rock, New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
What's going on, Evan? I actually think the number one spot you got right. Mm-hmm. The one person you got wrong is Brian Cashman. He shouldn't even be on the list or should be at the bottom of the list. This is the same garbage every year with this team. He brings in the same nonsense over and over again, gets our hopes up, and then we lose in the first round of the playoffs.
I understand.
So personally,
I understand.
I think he should be at the bottom of the list.
Okay. He cannot be at the bottom of the list because Joe Douglas has never had a 500 season, okay? So he's disqualified from being at the bottom. Here's the other problem you run into, okay? I know that this result is not acceptable for you because as Yankee fans, you have higher expectations. But Teague, getting to the playoffs is something half of these GMs can't do.
No, you're right. And I think that's a defining nature of building a team. Are you good and hiring the right coach? That's the other side of this we're not talking about. We're talking about the players and everything else. The coach as well. And Leon Rose and sticking with Tom Thibodeau during the rough times. Because there were some rough times.
Yeah.
And his unadjustability and his stuck in his head ways. He put a team together and made them better.
By the way, that's a great point that Sean can't argue, and I totally forgot this was a part of the calculation as well. Leon Rose has hired, I'm holding up one finger here, one head coach. How about Chris Drury? Can you give me the facts on that, Sean? How many coaches has he hired and fired?
Two.
Okay. I thought it was three. He fired two coaches.
He didn't.
He fired Quinn. Did he fire Quinn?
I'd have to look at the timeline. That could have been
Yes, he did. All right. I'm going to help you out. So he fired Quinn, and he fired the other guy from last year.
All right, but hockey teams go through coaches like we go through water.
It is true.
Basketball teams don't?
It's like every 2 years. All right, you got us in the postseason, but you know what? We don't like you right now.
I agree with you.
Let's get somebody else.
Basketball teams don't? Do basketball teams go through coaches a lot?
Not like hockey.
Oh, come on.
Hockey,
you have three bad games, a guy gets fired.
It feels like it happens just for turnover's sake.
Did the Milwaukee Bucks fire their coach this season in the middle of the year? Yes. Did the Philadelphia 76ers hire a new coach coming into the season?
We're aware that NBA coaches get fired and hired, but don't compare it to hockey. It's not the same.
Look, I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but let's not act like getting an NBA head coaching job is a secure job.
You're a mad scientist. You know that?
I'm giving you the facts, bro, and you get mad because it's not your team.
It's not the facts because somehow you've painted me now to be the biggest Knick hater on the show. It's unbelievable. You have an unbelievable talent.
I'm not trying to make you a Knick hater. I just call it like it is. Like, there are certain moments, Tiki knows this, where I could put the hat on and be fair. Like, yeah, sometimes I'll troll you guys. I'll have some fun. Mm-hmm. But other times I say, okay, now it's serious business. When I put together this list every year, it is very serious business. And Leon won fair and square. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Break?
No, not yet. There's a few more calls I want to get to. Kevin in Stony Point. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, I just wondering why everyone thinks Chris Jerry's so good. He inherited Panarin, Mika, Fox, Kreider, all the key contributors, traded away Buchnevich, signed Trouba, Goodrow, Reeves, all the bad contracts, didn't draft Lafreniere.
That's kind of a great point, Kevin. So, Sean, how do you defend this?
He was the brains, the assistant GM that did all those things. But carry on.
That doesn't count, though.
Well, it does because he established the team.
Does that count, Tiki?
No.
That doesn't count. You can't count that.
Oh, I count it.
Do you?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's done. What's done? He brought in Jonathan Quick.
You know what? He doesn't. He won't accept losses. I've learned this now. And Lugie's right.
You're one to take a loss.
I do accept loss, of course.
Well, you're not accepting this one.
Well, because it's my list. How could I lose? How could I lose?
Make your own list.
Yeah, can you make your own list when we come back? I want to hear it.
Really?
You have 5 minutes.
You have 5 minutes, one through nine.
List? What am I, Martha Stewart? Hold on.
I made my list. I want you to make your list. We'll hear it when we come back.
You can do it subjectively. You don't have to do a point system like Evan did.
Yeah, subjectively. You know the nine guys. Mm-hmm. My list again was Leon Rose, Brian Cashman, Chris Drury, David Stearns, Joe Shane, Lou Lamoriello, Tom Fitzgerald, Joe Douglas, and Sean Marks. One through nine. That's my list. I want to hear yours, Big Shot. So we'll hear Sean's list, and we'll get back to more of your phone calls. Plus, we'll get into the NFL stuff, including that new kickoff rule. I'm very, very curious what Tiki Barber thinks of it. And we'll get his opinion coming up. We'll say that at exactly 4 o'clock. That's when you're going to hear it. I look forward to it. And when we're on TV, you're going to get to see my guns, because I got them hanging out of my muscle shirt I'm wearing.
They're not too bad.
Where? Thank you. Where are my guns?
Yeah.
They're hanging from my shoulders, man. 888-808-1019. Just your typical busy summer Friday here in New York City. Bunch of guys yelling at each other about where team presidents and GM should be ranked in our New York power rankings. Sean Morash will reveal his list. I revealed mine, and a lot of people are upset. I think it's very straightforward. Leon Rose, Brian Cashman, Chris Drury, 1, 2, 3. David Stearns, Joe Shane, Lou Lamoriello, Tom Fitzgerald, Joe Douglas, and then Sean Marks. I went into my Twitter, because I released the list on social media as well, and I wanted to see what angry people had to say, because that's what social media is, a bunch of angry people. And more people are upset with my either disrespect for Joe Douglas or credit for Joe Shane. Like, I got a lot of Jet fans mad at me that I put Joe Douglas way too low on this list. And the reality is, you have to get to 500. Like, I like Joe, and he's complicated because he's built a really good roster, in my opinion.
Yeah, the talent on the team is spectacular.
It is. I mean, I give him credit for that, but you're under 500 every single year. They haven't made the playoffs every single year. You screwed up at left tackle. You screwed up at quarterback. It feels like you may have screwed up at head coach, which are the three most important decisions that you can make. So I'm sorry to my fellow Jet fan. Now, Sean obviously was upset that Leon Rose was number one and Chris Drury wasn't. So I challenged, and Tiki challenged him too, and said, okay, if you got such a problem with my list, let's hear your list. So ladies and gentlemen, according to Sean Morash, the annual New York Sports GM President Power Rankings starting at number nine.
Number nine is Brian Cashman.
Come on.
And I believe this to be true.
What?
Brian Cashman?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
That's where I give Tiki a hold on.
All right.
I believe that if Brian Cashman was the general manager in a salary capped league, he would be an outright disaster. And I think basically a tree stump could put together the roster he has. It's about fine-tuning it to a World Series champion.
Mm.
Okay? That's it.
I mean, okay, I think that
it's because of the money.
The money. You could always be competitive with the Yankees when you're spending $300 million. It's about the right way to spend it. He hasn't been able to figure out pitching. Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil, hopefully lose guys finally since Andy Pettit. He's a disaster.
Let me ask you a question. All right. Did he draft Aaron Judge?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right, rest my case.
Okay.
That was my only. Dave Gettleman
drafted Andrew Thomas. Blind squirrels find nuts left and right.
Okay, the difference is when Andrew Thomas got drafted and Dave Gettleman ran the team, they never did anything, never made the playoffs. Brian Cashman drafted and developed Aaron Judge, and they're basically in the playoffs
did
every
Brian
year.
Did Brian Cashman trade for Montas after knowing the injury history and didn't give him a physical? Did that happen?
That was a bad trade, sure.
Okay. Now go through the 11 million others. I'm not trying to hate on Brian Cashman. It just is what it
did
is.
Did he develop enough young pitching to entice the Padres to trade Juan Soto to the Yankees?
Great. Okay, now keep him. All right, number eight. Can we move along here?
Go ahead.
Because clearly I don't have a bias list. I just put the Yankees at number nine. That's my team. Number eight is Lou Lamoriello. Look, used to be high up.
This guy went to back-to-back semifinals.
So does Cashman. What has Lamoriello done since? The team is a dumpster fire. They build a new arena. They can't get anybody to sign
there. They made the playoffs the last few years. Like, what are you talking about? They weren't great, obviously.
Yeah,
they snuck in, but I mean, come on.
It's a major issue what he's got going on there. Next. Number seven, David Stearns. I mean, can we extend Pete already? Major issue. Number six is Sean Marks. Look, you got to give him credit for the Bridges deal. That's a positive. He has the team going in the right direction.
I don't even want to fight with you about this because it's going to piss me off.
Well, he's still in the back end, Ev.
Okay.
All right. Number five.
Right in the middle.
Right. Number five, right in the middle. Joe Douglas deserves credit for all the talent he had. But at some point, when you have that much talent, they're basically the Cowboys that play one less week every year. All right? Number four is Tom Fitzgerald. Devils. Look, they're going to be back in the mix. Jack Hughes, got to give him credit. All right? I don't know what else he's done, but he's done something. Number three.
You got a goalie.
Number three is Joe Shane. To make the difficult decision, the right decision to let Saquon walk wasn't easy, and now he has this team set up for some long-term success, and it's safe to say Joe Shane has drafted the best football player in New York, who is Malik Nabers. So he deserves credit, and that shoots him up.
He hasn't played a game yet.
Bro, he doesn't have to play a game. We know the deal. He's the best player in New York.
So he's better than Garrett Wilson?
You know he is.
I know he is.
Evan.
I know he is.
I wish they were playing in the preseason.
Evan, don't be a child. We know Malik Nabers is the best player in New York. The Jets are a better team, bro.
Hold on. I'm going to get this quote. Quote, don't be a child. You know Malik Nabers is better than Garrett Wilson. That's what he says to me.
I know.
If you don't know, now you know.
Well, soon you'll know.
Yeah. We know. It's not.
we know.
All right, number two is Leon Rose. Again, tip your cap. Great job. And number one, of course, is Chris Drury, two conference finals, and probably a Stanley Cup this year.
So you put Chris Drury top of the list.
Yeah.
You put Brian Cashman at nine. You put Joe Shane ahead of Lou Lamoriello, ahead of Joe Douglas.
That's an accurate list. That's an accurate list, and Twitter will back me up on that. And on top of that, do you know the last time a Ranger general manager in an offseason was ranked number one in New York?
1990.
It was going into the 93-94 season.
I knew that was coming.
Of course.
I want you to write that list down and tweet that out, too. The people need to see it on paper, because sometimes you need to see it on paper. For those that are not in traffic on the BQE right now.
Can you tell me how you spell Lamoriello?
I can help you out with that. Lamoriello.
Oh, O-R. I would have
done A-R. Wait, hold on. I had this way off.
How did you initially spell it?
Lamariello.
No. You already screwed up. Lamoriello.
S.
Okay. S.
Lamoriello.
Where'd the S come from? Lou Lamoriello's?
Yeah, come on.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? He's got such an agenda, this Sean. I mean, it's obvious what it is. First of all, you see your dislike for Brian Cashman, which I get Yankee fans have had this fight with him for many, many years. And he is so biased towards the Giants. Like, you're giant bias. And, like,
it's because it's recency. He just saw Hard Knocks.
Excuse me.
Malik Nabers has literally done practices, and you're already anointing him the best wide receiver in the world and better than Garrett Wilson, who's already done something with nobody throwing him the football.
And what has Malik Nabers done in this camp? Evan.
Well, what does that mean?
Do not feed the audience hogwash and lies.
Well,
Who picked the Giants for the least amount of wins on the show yesterday?
Sean Morash.
Okay, so, no, I'm not biased. So stick it.
Dude, Garrett Wilson had 1,100 yards in his first year. You think he can have 1,100 yards
this
year?
You're starting a team today. You want Malik Nabers or Garrett Wilson?
I want Garrett Wilson. He's already done it for two years.
Okay, and that's why you'd be fired as a GM.
How am I a liar? The guy's played in the league for 2 years.
Malik Nabers or Garrett Wilson?
Don't put him in a tough spot like that.
Mm. Why? No. Oh,
I mean, I'll take my guy.
What you did to him yesterday?
Garrett Wilson's pretty spectacular.
Thank you.
But why does it have to be this guy sucks because the other guy's good?
I don't think either one of them suck. I think they're both great.
Exactly. I think Garrett Wilson's great. Malik Nabers is better, and the world knows this.
Hold on a second. When did I say Malik Nabers sucks? I didn't say anything about him sucking. I said, and you know what? We had this conversation off air. It's sort of related. He was talking, Sean was, about getting a Malik Nabers jersey. Mm. And I politely said to him, wow, you're very different than me. I wouldn't get a jersey of someone who hasn't done anything for my team yet. And that doesn't mean I don't like Malik. It just means, like, I wait for players to do something for my team before I rush out to Dick's to spend $110 on their jersey.
Did Garrett change his number?
Well, yes.
He did.
Yeah, he went from 17 to 5.
Yeah, you got to wait.
Yeah. Oh, because of that?
Yeah. Seriously, you got to wait.
Yeah, Nabers is not going to be 9, so I wouldn't advise anybody buying that.
No.
Yeah, but Evan, that's just
definitely wait.
Very calmly, everybody in New York understands Malik Nabers is better, and
nobody
you need to calm down.
Nobody understands that. Who is everybody that understands this?
Again.
You and your 5 friends who talk about the Giants like they won the Super Bowl last year?
2 friends.
Okay. Last thing before I move on from this, because I'm getting caught in this just hogwash of crap. On the record, 3:43, August 2nd.
83 catches, 1,100 yards, 4 touchdowns. Okay? Those are Garrett Wilson's rookie numbers. Obviously, the touchdown number, not great. I think we'd all admit that.
Honestly, that had to do with the quarterback.
Of course. And I think we all understand that. Mm-hmm. But we also understand that Malik is going into a situation in which we think Daniel will play. We don't know how healthy he's going to be. There are questions around the Giant quarterback situation.
And offensive line.
No doubt about it. They're all up there. So I'm giving Malik that, much like Garrett had that. Do you think Malik Nabers will catch 83 balls as a rookie this year?
He will break the Giants record, yeah.
I'm asking you a question.
Yeah.
Will he catch 83?
Okay. Is he going to do a lot of short design stuff, too?
Will he have more than 1,100 yards in receiving this year?
I believe Malik Nabers will lead the NFL in receiving this year.
Wow. I mean, it feels like it watching camp that they're
he's going to get
the ball downfield.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
80% of the
time. He is going to be the offensive rookie of the year.
I mean, look, you may be right with that, but my God, have you ever felt this way about a rookie?
No. Actually,
we didn't think about Odell like this. I don't think anybody knew.
And he got hurt. And he got hurt in camp.
Yeah, he missed the first few weeks. Yeah,
4 weeks, 5 weeks.
The last time I felt this way was '97. They drafted Tiki Barber in the second. Real quickly, I think this is worth noting because this is maybe one of the most badass moments in New York sports history.
Go ahead.
We are a couple hours away from Jazz Chisholm Jr.'s New York Yankee Stadium debut.
Mm-hmm.
He has entered the media room wearing a shirt. And he has told the media, the shirt is my plan. Yeah. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
The shirt simply says, 314 feet, where he's hitting it over the right field wall tonight.
He's wearing a shirt that says 314
feet?
That's
314 feet.
That's kind of badass.
No, I don't like that. I don't like that.
I mean, if he does it, it's badass.
No, yes, that part is badass, but I will tell you kind of geekily why that does concern me.
Why?
Okay, and I'm a big Jazz guy. You know, I'm a big Chisholm guy.
Because he's trying to pull it.
Yes. Mm. You can't fall in love with Yankee Stadium. In fact, I'll tell you something really interesting. Very interesting that you may not even realize. Juan Soto has not hit a home run over the Yankee Stadium short porch. Mm. Not one.
No, he's hit it into the second deck on the in right field.
Right. He has not
He has not wrapped it around the pole.
He has not had a cheapie.
He has not had a short porch home run yet, and a part of that is his brilliance that Juan Soto isn't going to change who he is because of the ballpark he's in. And remember, we talked about this before the season. His best power area is left center field.
Yes.
Which is not ideal at Yankee Stadium.
No.
It's actually ideal at Citi Field.
But he can put it there. And by the way, one of Jazz's home runs was there, right?
Where? On the road?
Yeah, on the road. Left center. Right?
I'm trying to remember. I know he wrapped one around the right field fence.
I think his first one was left center.
That sounds right. He's had so many, you know?
Yes. But my point is, I think what Soto's done so brilliantly is not let Yankee Stadium get into his head. And just be Juan Soto, and obviously it's worked. He's had a great year. It would worry me a little bit for Jazz Chisholm to fall too much in love with that short porch because you don't want to change who you are, and you don't want to start to have big eyes.
I don't think he's going to.
Okay.
I think it's
I hope not, for
I
his
think
sake.
It just because he hasn't been a pull ball hitter.
Well, I'm just...
You know what I mean?
But that's a part of the problem. Like, you don't want to turn 314 into something you're thinking about, because that has affected guys in the past. So, I love the bravado. That I love. Dude, I love Jazz's attitude. I love his confidence. I love all that. But I would be afraid of him kind of getting too pull happy with right field at Yankee Stadium. Let's go to Tim in East Hanover. What's up, Tim? Hello, Tim. Tim is going one.
Sorry, hey, you guys there?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
Okay, sorry. Hey, love the show. Great show.
Appreciate it.
Morath, you're wrong. You were talking about Leon and grading him if the Knicks don't go far in the playoffs. The GM's job is to put the players there, and he has done that better than anybody in New York, even in the NBA.
Okay, so Joe Douglas is one, then.
It's the coach's job now to win the game. His job is done.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, you're right and you're wrong, because Sean actually had a great retort, which is Joe Douglas. Like,
yeah, well, go ahead.
If the Jets, no, because I think the Jets are the team you got to pivot to really have this discussion. If the Jets go 8-9 and miss the playoffs, and yet we're still walking away with what a defense and Breece Hall's incredibly talented, all that stuff can be true. Joe Douglas will lose his job, and you could call up this radio station and try to make the same argument of, well, look at the players. The team is loaded. Well, ultimately, he hired the head coach, and the team didn't win.
Yeah.
And despite how good your roster is, if you can't get those things right, it doesn't work for you.
Yeah, the hard thing in football is you know what's most important, and that's your quarterback. And if you don't have the right quarterback, or it's not because I think they have the right quarterbacks. I'm not going to say that. If you don't have the right mitigation for any quarterback issue, that's when you get in trouble.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened last year. Were they good enough to win, I don't know, nine games last year? They should have been, right, with the defense that's talented. Brees is back offensively. You still got the offensive rookie of the year and Garrett Wilson. Like, why weren't they able to win more games? It's because the B plan at quarterback was so bad.
Yes.
That it lowered their ability to win.
They didn't win
games.
That's
on roster constructor.
Yes. It would almost be like you're taking a science class and you get an A, another A, another A, another A, and then the test you don't get an A on, you actually get a 35 on. Like, it's so horribly bad, it brings all the numbers down.
Right.
That's Joe Douglas's time as Jets GM. And what I mean by that is Sauce Gardner is an A. Garrett Wilson is an A.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy Williams, finding him, is an A.
Fantastic.
Like, all that's an A. Zach Wilson is a 25. And that brings you down. Because the truth is, yeah, if the Jets had a competent quarterback last year, they don't go 7-10, they go 10-7, and they make the playoffs. Yes. Well, guess what? I'm sorry. You don't get graded on a curve. Like, you still got the 25, which brought everything down.
Yep.
Right? So it's kind of the same thing. It's like our ratings. Like, if we got 10 shares every day, but then there was this one day where we got a zero, like, guess what? Unfortunately for us, it still counts. Like, it brings the number down. So in Joe Douglas's case, it brings him down that he was so bad at building an offensive line, finding a quarterback, and as of right now, Tiki, the head coach.
Yeah.
Because the jury is still out.
Well, yeah, the jury is still out on the head coach, but so much of the head coach is really on the talent that the head coach has. And, look, we know that they've remade some of their offensive line. We know they have a better backup quarterback should Aaron Rodgers go down and Tyrod Taylor. But now it comes down to the coaching.
Yeah.
Now it comes down to Nate Hackett and Robert Saleh and Jeff Olbrich. Right. That's really what's going to matter when you start evaluating the job that Joe Douglas has done, and he's going to get evaluated on this season.
No doubt.
Period.
Winning matters. So for Leon Rose or for David Stearns or for anybody, it's all about winning. That's why, like, the opposite effect is with Brian Cashman. Like, Sean could sit here all day, and we could do it all day and talk about all the bad trades he made. We could do that. I totally get it. Like, I could join in. Joey Gallo, bad trade. Like, I got you. All the pitchers he's tried to acquire over the last 10 years that have gone bad. And you're right. But then the answer would be, and then they made the playoffs. And then they won 95 games. And then they won 100 games. And then yes, not enough. They didn't win the World Series. Of course, we understand that. But it's kind of the opposite of Joe Douglas. You can sit here all day and rip the results of these trades. But if the record continues to get you into the postseason, then obviously he and the organization have done something right.
Do you think, honestly, that Brian Cashman, if every team had to basically spend around the same the way Joe Douglas has, that Brian Cashman has the team in the playoffs?
Flawed question. Who cares? It's not real. You asked the question, but it's still real. There is no salary cap in baseball. Next question. So why do I care?
But then why are we making a list about the nine? And then the whole thing is apples.
No, it's not. Did the Yankees make the playoffs every year?
But that's my point. I'm actually grading on a curve, as you like to say, and judging what I think would happen.
Here's the problem with your argument, and let the Mets be your guide. Did the Mets make the playoffs last year?
No, they did not.
Did they finish above 500?
I actually don't remember. Did they?
No, they didn't. It wasn't even close.
Bro, we washed ourselves of our sins. I forgot what happened last year.
You forgot if the Mets finished above 500?
They traded Scherzer and Verlander. If you told me they finished 82-80, maybe I would have believed you.
Okay, well, they didn't. Did they have the highest payroll in baseball?
Yes.
Did they?
They did.
By a lot.
I'm sorry I forgot all this.
And then you throw in the tax and everything else. It was almost $1 billion.
Okay, so let's play this game one more time. Honest opinion, Sean. We opened the show about 2 hours ago. You could rewind on the Odyssey app with the Mets. And it's not a very tough road trip. And how I think it's a coin flip if they make the playoffs. Do you honestly think, Sean, the Mets are going to make the playoffs this year?
I do.
No, you don't. Because you've said a million times that you don't think they are. So don't change it for this
argument.
That's
not true.
You don't think the Mets are going to make the playoffs. Okay?
I sat next to you with your worries. And I said, I think they'll be good enough to make the six. You get two extra cute games and you're out.
I don't remember that. So bottom line is Sean doesn't think the Mets can make the playoffs.
He changes his narrative constantly.
And they have the highest payroll in baseball.
He's putting words into your mouth, too.
He's unbelievable.
Well, I'm trying to prove this point with his brain. Haven't we seen enough now to realize that just having the most money doesn't mean you make the playoffs every year?
Yeah, we saw it last year with the Yankees, too.
And with the Mets. So stop using that as your lazy reason to bash Cashman when we're talking about results, the results are always at least good enough to be in the postseason and towards the top of our list.
I don't know when the right time is to not have the last word because you get mad at me about that, so I'm going to let you have it.
Thank you, Sean. I think you made the right decision there, Teague.
Yeah, probably, because we got a break.
Hey, when we come back, I don't know if you guys watched the football game last night. If you didn't, we'll describe the new kickoff rule, and I'm very curious, for a guy who's actually done it in his career, what Tiki Barber thinks about it. We'll get to that coming up, plus a lot of NFL fans. You talk about lists. They're pissed off about John Madden NFL quarterback rankings. We'll examine why a little bit later on. Toll-free number 888-808-1019.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse left pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.